Thank you. just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful, God, Lord, that you're a true and living God, Lord. You're not like all these other idols, Father God, Lord. You speak back, Father God, Lord. You've resurrected, Father, Lord, that we might live again, Lord. Lord, we just pray, oh God, Lord, that each and every person that came out tonight, oh God, Lord, that they would come in expecting, oh God, Lord, that you would be an awesome God tonight, God. You're not a subpar God. You're the only living true God, Lord. Lord, we just pray, oh God, Lord, that we come not only just expecting, but when we leave, we have received what we expected, Father God. We don't want to come just for form or fashion, but to receive what you promised for us tonight, oh God. Lord, we just pray, oh God, Lord, just have your way in the service, oh God. Touch every soul, God, Lord. Be with our brother as he brings the word of God, Lord. We just pray that you just, oh God, speak to him, lift to your Father God, Lord, the need of the church tonight, Lord. We just pray, oh God, Lord, that you just bless the tithes, bless the offerings, Lord, for your ministry, Father God, that it would bring souls, oh God, in this last day in this age, Father. God, we just want to get that last one in and go home, Lord. Lord, we just pray that you just have your way in the service, God, Lord. May you be edified in the worship, Father God. May we worship you with all our hearts, all our minds, and all our souls, Father God. We just want to give you the glory, praise, and the honor, God. Just be with us this evening, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Just sing a little song, amen. Sing a song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I made it over. Sing that song, Amazing Grace. I made it at the end, amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
God tonight. Amen. Happy to be here. Praise the Lord. God is good. Especially all the time. God, these are like 12-year-old denominational things here. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. All right, now we got the program going. God bless you. Good to be in the house of God tonight. And I think everybody knows, we have Brother Simon's going to be speaking tonight. And Lord has given us another wonderful day to ring forth his praises. I feel like singing that song, Something in My Heart, like a stream running down. Amen. So I pray, Lord, let it ever just flow. When he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So God, let it flow. Amen. But we realize with the message of this hour, this is what we have. Amen. There is something more than gold, because part of God is right there. So let's sing this song if we can. And something in my heart. Singspiration with the LaFontaines as far as to mark the ministry that God has done there musically. And that's going to be happening March 19th, which is obviously not this weekend. It'd be the following Saturday. And then after that, there's going to be one also on April 9th, and that is a Saturday in a few weeks. It starts at 6 o'clock on both nights. And by the grace of God, he said if we can get 10 people to go, he said that the prices for tickets are $10 a piece. So that's extensively down from what they were. So by the grace of God, it would be very nice if I did hear back from any of you ASAP to see if you were interested in doing that. Like I said, so if we can get 10 people going, the rate actually goes down drastically. And he said it would sure nice to have some real worshipers there. So he was talking about you. So I thought it was pretty sweet of him. So anyway, we want to do whatever we can there. And like I said, if there's enough interest, then certainly we will take advantage of that. And if we do one night or two or both nights, we'd be pleased however the Lord would lead there. It is also followed up, he said, afterwards, both times, they're going to have like little, I call them carry-ins, or he said a meal will be provided. So you're not just $10 just to go. And the reason why they're charging money there is because they're actually, this is going to be a production that they're doing. So that's why that they went the way they went. And so anyway, that's what it is. Any more questions? I can help you or point you to somebody who can. So by the grace of God, just perhaps a little short notice for next week, but maybe not so much. You do come from Living Waters Tabernacle, so we're used to these type of things. But anyway, just whenever you get a chance there, pray about it. And if you feel like you're ready to go, just let me know. So anyway, we have that. And then by the grace of God, let me think here. I know I'm missing something, but I'll get back to that. Let me announce this as well. By the grace of God, we're trying to do a few things here. And we've already purchased a round, and we may purchase another round, but I would like to see if there's any interest or need. We're getting some jump drives and with the whole message on them, and they're rather cheap for the entire audio of the message. So we've ordered a round of those, and I haven't heard much from anyone, if anyone even knew about it, but by the grace of God, we will order another round of those SD cards if there's much interest. And for this is a relatively cheap way for us to get the whole message at our fingertips. And in speaking to Brother Paul earlier, he said that the Mexican people, they're still doing that message, Spanish outreach project, where they're interpreting the message into Spanish for them. And he said that that people are just really hungry for the Word of God. So anyway, we have the ability to fulfill that hunger if you have it. So just let us know there. And anyway, we want to give Brother Simon ample time. And maybe we'll just sing one song as we invite him out. And I got all my songs on this iPad here. It's actually Brother Jesse's little songbook that they got. So I got to keep on doing this until I get down to 3:23, and I'm going to sing that song right there. It's a song that, maybe we'll sing this song. Let's sing this song. I'm going to sing that song if we can. A Leaving on My Mind. I'm going to try to, I just got Leaving on My Mind, brother, sister, and I pray that you do too. I believe it's the Delaney's cousin that's with me tonight. God bless you, sister. You've grown up since the last time I seen you. It's been a while and I forgot your name, but amen. It's good to have you in the house of God tonight. So Lord, richly bless you. So just like a little family. It's all right. So God bless you. And looking forward to the word this evening. Amen. This is a good little break for me. I was, as you know, I'm trying to get the ministers in maybe every 4, 5, 6 sermons. And I had that planned and it backfired the last round. So you got me for another week, actually another couple weeks because of that. But by the grace of God, we'll be doing our best, and Brother Simon would be a good opener for us. So we'll try to sing this song if we can. This old house that I've been living in, seems a little deep. This old house that I've been living in is in need of repair. The windows and the Anyhow, let's just read a couple of passages of Scripture, and we'll get into this by the grace of God. First John, verse 11 says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And if we could turn to Proverbs 26. This little thought the Lord placed on my heart, just want to yield as best I can. I'm just really pretty as far as doing services. We're just real young. Probably got last couple years, maybe 25. I could actually call services. So not
too nervous, just want to be yielded to the Lord. Proverbs 26, verse 6, says, "He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage." So let's just say a word of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, Lord, we just love thee, God. And Lord, you know, Lord, as we sit under the word of God, Lord, time and time again, Lord, we just, Lord, we've had dry spells, God. We've had all kinds of, Lord, lack of growth, God. But Lord Jesus, Lord, I know me personally, Lord God, and probably the last couple months, Lord, just feel growth, God. Lord, I can actually feel some growth, God, Lord. And Lord, as our pastor's been preaching, God, Lord, just feel the dying out, God. Just, Lord, just we're willing to let go more and more, God. We just pray, Lord, that's each one of our prayers, God, Lord, that's in our hearts, Lord, in our minds. Lord, hopefully, by the grace of God, it's sealed in our souls, God, Lord. That we're sealed, God, and Lord, we just want you to take full control tonight, Lord. And Lord, just bless our pastor, God, Lord, for giving me another opportunity here, Lord. And Lord, you just fell a lot again for me, Lord, tonight, Lord. Just take all my thoughts, God, Lord, and just direct them, Lord. Direct my mouth, Lord, and we just love you, Lord. Lord, bless the service, God, and bless the hearers. Bless their ears, God, Lord, and may you just teach this, Lord, tonight. God, we love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. You may have your seats. I guess if I had a title, I want this title to be The Real Message. Pretty simple, I know. But just something this Lord placed on my heart. Just recently, Brother Cam came up here and preached powerfully Sunday, and he hit probably three or four of my thoughts that I'm going to be talking about tonight. I talked to him afterwards. I said, "Brother, you already kind of hit." He's like, "Brother, just teach it." Okay, all right. So we're going to step out by faith and just kind of maybe, Lord willing, reiterate. Just have a couple of my own things maybe the Lord gave me. Just want to be, hopefully it'll be edifying by the grace of God. 7:42, according to the old atomic clock here. I don't want to keep you too late, but I just want the Lord to have his way. So, if we could, in 1 John 3:11 says, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Correct?
Amen.
Absolutely. Right. Proverbs 26, verse 6 says, "He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage." Saints of God, I was, just like every spouse, every couple or even friends or whatever, when they're together, they talk about things. "Well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that?" and whatever. And one time, me and my wife were talking about all the ministers that have fallen. I hate to always go back to this or whatever, however you want to think, but it just consumes me to see the word that's been brought, the word that captured me, the word that's captured you, and to see ministers, they had to have, remember, the Bible says what? Gifts and callings are without repentance. That the Bible says no man can come unto God unless God calls him, right? So they must have received a calling in their life to preach the gospel. Not only a calling, but they had to be gifted for the ministry. Absolutely. They must be able to tie the word together to bring it just right. Absolutely. Not only were they called to the gospel, to salvation, but they were called to the greatest light of the day. In fact, the only true light of the day is what? This message. Absolutely. That's right. I'm talking about the real message. And of these eight ministers, one just recently just befriended me there, or wanted to be my friend on Facebook. Totally just gone. Living with his girlfriend, divorced his wife. Living with a girlfriend. Still, he's one thing I looked on his thing, he says, "Church was awesome tonight." Is he going to a message church? Is he going to what is the mindset? Where is things going with this? All right. Turn to Genesis 3. I'm sorry, Genesis 4. Verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Notice what? Eve, a type of what? The church. What conceived in this church, in the message of the hour, what conceived what in into the true word of God, the true field. Absolutely. He says, and again she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. All came from the word of God. All came from what? Came out of what? The true church. Absolutely. And in the process of time, verse 3, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So he had a calling in his heart. Notice, he was no longer just an animal. He was no longer, what I'll say this, pure serpent. He was hybrid.
Right, right.
To have this feeling, to have this calling to what? Worship. Because remember, they're going in the prophet called, he said they went to the east gate, right? He said they built an altars right there. Because remember, when the hybriding took place, the animal, the serpent was given a soul, a place in his heart and a soul. He became what? A living soul as well. So the hybriding took place, and he took on what? The soul, while the sons and daughters of God, what took on what? Beast nature. Already having a soul, now they have what? Beast nature. Absolutely. Verse 4. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offerings. Look, both bringing forth worship, both wanting to please God, both wanting to do everything they can for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Absolutely. We know how the prophet rehearsed it, and how Cain had brought of the field, what the fruit of the field, and he lined it up real nice on the altar, looked beautiful, had the cantaloupes and bananas and watermelons, whatever he planted, he lay on the altar, and he said he thought that was good enough. Correct? Now, Abel, he didn't have that. He was more of like just a shepherd, right? He rose up sheep, and he took his little lamb there, right? He took that lamb. He went up to the altar, and the prophet said, he said he took a sharp rock, and he started hacking the neck of that lamb.
Amen.
Blood spurting on him, blood on the sacrifice, and most importantly, blood on the altar. Absolutely, correct? And when that, he said that lamb, he said it would bleed out. It was a death bleed. Absolutely. Remember that quote I read a couple, maybe months ago? He says, the only thing acceptable to the ears of God is the sound of death on the altar.
Amen. Right.
Absolutely. If you are not dead to self when you hit this altar, I don't care if you've repented. I don't care if you've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you don't come to this altar dead, the sacrifice will not be accepted. What if Abel, he said, would have just left the lamb there and just tied it to the altar?
Right.
And just let that thing just right there. Said, Lord, just consume it. No. The revelation is that it had to be of blood.
Amen.
Well, what if Abel and his sheep thinking would have probably taken a little, maybe a hypodermic needle and maybe pulled some blood from it and shot it on the altar? The blood was good, but it wasn't dead. Remember, because the Bible says what? The voice is in the blood.
Amen.
Correct? And that blood would say it's not dead. That lamb is not dead. So God, what? Could not accept it. Correct? So he had to actually kill the sheep, place the blood there. The sacrifice was there. Blood on him, the bloody lamb, and the blood is on the altar. And God said it was, he accepted it. It was good. Absolutely. And Abel just covered himself and saved his life. Absolutely. By the life of a lamb. Correct? Sure, absolutely. Everything has to be by the blood, it has to be a death.
Amen.
Correct?
Amen.
Surely. Now, kind of said that here to give Brother Dustin there a little bit of time to get this. Proverbs 26, verse 6, he says, he sendeth a message by the hand of a fool. No, remember, I'm not calling anyone a fool. The Bible is. Remember, as far as what I know, just in my limited message time, whatever you want to call it, eight ministers have left the message, forsaken the word of God. He says, and cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. And I was reading commentary, the men under the man anointing, what they wrote about this in Gill. Brother, if you want to pull up the Gill commentary, Proverbs 26, verse 6, he says, he that sendeth a message, he says, by the hand of a fool, he says, who knows not how to deliver it in a proper manner. He says, and is incapable of taking the answer and reporting it as he should, or unfaithful in it. He says, and bringeth a bad or false report, as the spies did upon the good land. These men, preachers, what? People in the message. Brother Cam was just telling me two more people I didn't know. I just left the message. Is it the people's fault? It's the ministers. They're not getting the people to the Holy Ghost. Absolutely truth. And then he goes on. He says, cutteth off the feet. He says, he may as well cut off his feet before he sends him. Or send a man without feet. He says, as such a one for prudence, diligence, he says, and faithfulness in doing a message and bringing back the answer are as necessary to a messenger as his feet are. In other words, So in other words, a messenger receives the word. To be a messenger, you must have a message. And people, we have received this message, and we have to be able to bring it out correctly and come back and give a report. Absolutely. Because everything, every time we witness, every time we go about in the world and whatever, he says, the Bible says what? You'll be judged by your words and your works. Absolutely. That's right. I'll say it like this. When I was on my way trip to Tucson, I had one layover. Flight, right? Then on the way back, one layover. Flight. Right? Back to Toledo, or Detroit, right? On the first way there, a little three-year-old was crying in my ear for 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it was, couldn't even sleep. The next flight from the jump from there to, I sat next to a woman. And of course, I try not to look, I just try to, you know, focus and this and that, and all of a sudden, she strikes up a conversation. Now, well, last time I taught about flus, right? And instantly, what? Obviously, what? Affections try to jump in there. Imaginations try to jump in there. And I took these imaginations, these affections, whatever, I pulled them out clean. And I started hitting the word with her. Dialing in baptism. Dialing in the Holy Ghost. Dialing in what? Secrets of the rapture. Now she's accountable for that. On the way back, the longest from Phoenix to Detroit, I sit in there, it's dark out, and as I'm sitting there, and I'm in the middle seat, there's a guy here, and there's a lady here, and obviously she's not dressed real well, low-cut top, very young, whatever you want to call it, imaginations working again. What I do, I pulled out my little technical device here, I pulled up the old message, and I started reading quotes on the old message app, thank God, the table app, right? And I'm sitting in the center between these two, just looking through quotes. And sure enough, hey, what are you doing? Oh, she wanted to talk to me. Uh-oh. Imaginations. No. We took those imaginations, got them out, and she says, what do you do? And I said, I'm reading some quotes by a powerful preacher. She's like, really? She turns back to her little movie, and she's like, and she turns and she says, I got a question for you. And for the next 2 hours, 2.5 hours, I was able to show her baptism. I was able to show her serpent seed. I was able to show in rapture and dial these things in. I tried to create what the Bible says, the prophet said, what? We are creators of atmosphere. And to me, I kind of did it like this, like the way I kind of, because you know the devil's continually throwing things. So I brought in the old mystery atmosphere, I tried to dial this in like this was the most secret thing, the most revelated thing that she'll ever see. And I said, do you want to know what the original sin is? She got real close to me and said, yeah, I'd like to see that. You know how on the airplanes they have the little lights you can turn on? The lights, she lets the lights off, and she pulled out her iPhone. And she hit the light on the iPhone, and we were there about this, head-to-head like this. And I pulled out my Bible, and we started reading Matthew 13. And she read a little thing that is, I created an atmosphere of just mystery. Are we not stewards of the mysteries of God? Absolutely. And she's like, wow. I took her to 1 John where Cain was of the wicked one. She's like, what? She took her iPad out and started. She says, I'm going to write that scripture down. She typed it in there. Da, da, da. She says, I'm going to save that. Absolutely. We go, and now we're working with her for 2.5 hours. At the end of the little conversation there. Now remember, that's not me. That takes the Holy Ghost to do that. This guy. At the end, I said, sister. I kept calling her sister. Mindset. Sister. I said, do you want my number? She's like, yes, I want your number. I said, now you tell your husband that's on your phone. I don't want no trouble. I said, if you ever want to see the real word, I said, I've just touched it. I said, if you want to see the real word, here's my number. She took it. She said, thank you very much. Saints of God, we have to realize, we have to understand who we are. At all times, we have to be able to dive into what and what? Get into the Spirit. Hallelujah. Bring an atmosphere. Sure. Yeah. Bring the atmosphere and start witnessing as best as we can. Each one to its own ability. And try them. Push them to what? The Holy Ghost. To Jesus Christ himself. Absolutely. Amen. That's right. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Now, Gil. And drinketh damage. And to himself, his message not being highly performed. He says, and business not done well, which is a loss to the sender. He says, as well as to his credit and reputation with the person to whom he sends him. So now this minister, right, is not only, he's failing the person that sent him, God, and he's failing those to receive him. Right? Sure. He says, as well as his credit and his reputation with the person to whom he sends him, he says, he hereby concluding that he must be a man of great judgment. He says, man of no great judgment and sense to send such a fool on his errand. Such are the unskillful ambassadors of princes, and such are unfaithful ministers, he says, and the messengers of the churches. He says, the words in the original are these three sentences without copulative, and stand in this order. He that cutteth off the feet, he that drinketh damage, and he that sendeth the message by the hand of a fool. This, that is, they are alike. In other words, it's the same thing. Saints of God, I just read a quote last night. I told Brother Cam about it. Brother Bram, he was reading this, he's reading the scripture, and he says, and Jesus Christ is here in the midst, wherever, there I am in this, wherever two or three are gathered, right? We know that scripture, right? Brother Graham said, he says, by the time, I'm just paraphrasing, he says, by the time this thing hits, he says, your churches will be that small. That's why they put that scripture in there. Small churches make this rapture. Amen. Not saying just, I'm just saying, by the time this, these people are falling away like flies. And the persecution, the hard times have not even hit. Absolutely, surely. Now, go make Jesus 63:11:30, number six, brother. Now he's bringing this, and I've taught this when I taught. I brought this quote when I taught the healing prescription, but when I taught that, I never read the next paragraph. So let's read this two paragraphs here. He says, "But there is more to the ministry than divine healing." See, he says, "The sickest body that I know of tonight is the so-called body of Jesus Christ." He says, it needs spiritual healing. He says, there's only one balm that I know of, and that will heal. He says, and that's what the word. Absolutely. And that's the sick body that we want to stand up in the strength and the vitamin power of the gospel. He says, and that's why I use much of the time now in trying to strengthen the church by the word. Man, that's a powerful quote. But do we ever read the next paragraph? Number seven. He says, I know I'm a poor substitute to take the place of a minister. Oh, man, I can actually relate. He says, a scholar minister. He says, but I do believe this with no disregards to the ministry of scholarship. He says, in other words, for those that know. He says, I wish I had it. He says, I'm not trying to support my ignorance by saying this. Now, look what he says. This is your prophet, not me. He says, but what we need now. Now, he just went. He said, the body of Christ is the sickest thing, right? And he says, look, he says, but what we need now more than we do the intellectual side to know how to put the word together and make it masterly fit. Perfect. Flawless sermon. He says, more than that, he says, masterly fit, he says, is God. He says, we need God, see? And it doesn't always come through rightly formed words. He says, it comes through a dedicated heart. He says, and that heart dedicated to God and doing the will of God. Now, you've got to know the will before you can do the will. He says, find out what you're here for. Isn't that just absolute? So here he says what? He says, we don't need necessarily. He says, those things are good. He says, we need those things. Absolutely. He says, but what we need now is the power of the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. To what? Because I'll tell you this. Has the church awoke? Or is she still lulled asleep by the cares of the world or this problem or that problem or this instance or themselves? Or is she still asleep? Well, brother, at midnight, there was a cry. Absolutely. That's right. Absolutely, that's right. Sure. Now, in talking to some brothers there, things going on, they say, well, we just want to have the higher caliber preachers, the higher caliber ministers. What does that mean? Higher caliber. Let the prophet interpret. Does that mean higher caliber ministers? Does that mean masterly fit preachers? Higher caliber. One time I was in Iowa, and Brother Brooks had Steve Bell come and preach for him. He preached for like 2.5 hours. Anybody remember Steve Bell? Not a whole lot of anointing, but he went on for 2.5, 3 hours almost. Brother Brooks invited him to preach the gospel. And then we went out to eat at a Brother Isaac's, and his wife was sick. And we're just hanging out, fellowship. Brother Steve Bell, I hear your
wife is sick.
Yeah, brother.
Let's pray over her.
Brother Steve Bell and prayed over that woman, who's, mind you, is not in the message. Brother Isaac is Brother Brooks' song leader. He is solid in the message. His wife is not. Brother Brooks has this brother come preach. Brother Steve says, let's lay hands on her, like the Bible says. She was healed right then. If any of you really know Brother Steve Bell, how many ministers, pastors would invite this brother to preach? I think his videos are still on YouTube or Facebook, whatever. Higher caliber. But if a higher caliber preacher would have been there, would that sister got healed? Sure. My. Is this leadership of the Holy Ghost? Let's turn to Acts 18 if we could. Sorry, I'm taking my time here. Acts 18, verse 24. Look at this brother right here. Is he in the book of Acts? Absolutely. Verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria. What? He was a Jew, but he was born in a Gentile and had a Gentile name. An eloquent man, he says, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. The guy could talk. Brother Bram said he was a converted lawyer by John the Baptist. Mighty in the scriptures. The guy could preach. The guy could tear it up. He knew what he was talking about. He confounded. Later on, it says, well, let's just read it. He says, and this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. He knew correct worship. He knew the things in the Word. He knew about Jesus Christ. He says, and being fervent in the Spirit. Lowercase s. He taught, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. At this point, he didn't have the Holy Ghost. Knowing only the baptism of John. In fact, in Acts 19, Brother Branham said, he says, those 12 that were there, that Paul, he says, as Apollos was in Corinth, Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passing through the upper coast of Ephesus, right? He finds certain disciples. Brother Branham said, Apollos was their pastor. So, Brother Branham, is it true? I don't know. That's what he said. I'm just saying. He was the pastor. He knew the word. He could dial it in. Sure. But he was lacking and void of the Holy Ghost. He never got his people to the Holy Ghost. He was ignorant. Absolutely, he was ignorant. But now look what he had to do. First, he began to speak boldly. He's preaching to the Jews. Why? Because he was so gifted in the word of God. His gift was beautiful. And he'd go and he'd be able to talk about Isaiah 9:6. He'd take that, deal with the Psalms 51, deal with all the Psalms 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, all the way to 27, deal with the crucifixion of Christ. He could dial it all in and perfectly and prove to the Jews this was the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He says, and he answered the synagogue, of whom when Aquila and Priscilla, he says, had heard, they took unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Every true minister of God, every true preacher of God, every true seed of God has to hear what? The voice, the message for their day. You know what the name Aquila means? It means eagle. He had to hear what? From the eagle of his day. Absolutely. From what? What? Paul was the messenger, the eagle prophet, I'll say it like that. And what? If you are, you have to be, what does the church age book say? He says, it has to be to what? A prophetic people. What? Eagle-like as well. But Ram called it what? Eaglets. Absolutely. And here were some eaglets listening to a master priest preacher. Absolutely. And what? That he had to hear the eagle voice himself, the eagle cry himself. And Aquila was able, and what? Priscilla was able to what? Expound the word of God more perfectly. Right. Absolutely. Right. But did he receive the Holy Ghost there? No. It doesn't say when he received the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. Now, verse 27, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, and the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much from had believed through the grace, he says, for he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And so he'd be more mighty in the word of God. But since he had the perfect word, he'd heard from the eagle anointing, and now he was able to, he was downright fearless even more now, right? And of what course, the next chapter, what? St. Paul had to come and discern his flock. Say, boys, void of the Spirit. Had to bring them what? And get them baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and they probably received the Holy Ghost before their pastor. Oh my, sure. Now, let's continue on here. Now, I want to show you something here. 1 Timothy 5. Kind of slow. I'm just kind of. However, 1 Timothy 5, verse 20. He says, them that sin rebuke before all. He says, that others also may fear. He says, I pray before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the angel that I observe these things without preferring one before another. He says, without preferring one before the other. He says, do nothing by partiality. Thank God we have a witness that said, they came here and they said, the Holy Ghost said, he says, there's no respecter of persons here. The Holy Ghost spoke that. No respecter of persons. When I'm in Lima, I treat each brother, rich or poor, exactly the same. Absolutely. I just talked for last week. And he told me, he says, brother, he says, I don't call anyone great. You know how Brother Jesse's like, I don't call anyone great. He says, there's no great ones here. He says, all is short. Absolutely. Growing in fear of the knowledge of God. Absolutely. Now, look what talks about this scripture in perfect strength by perfect weakness, as our pastor told me to listen to that. 59. He said, that's what's the matter with the world today. He says, there's too much seminary experiences, too much placed upon education, too much placed upon relationship or fellowships and denomination. He says, we rest on one another. He says, we rest upon men with ability. He says, the Bible said, he says, how can you have faith when you are, how'd that scripture, he said, just like me, I forget it. He says, how can you have faith when you're preferring one another? Well, what does that mean? Let's see what he says about it. He says, when we are expecting saying, this guy, he's a great person. He says, I'll just upon him or his relation or his this or his that. When you place that above, when I was in Arizona, I had fellowship with Brother Brooks. Absolutely. But he's no longer my past. That's my past. I take everything. I'm thinking about this and that. And I don't go to this brother. I say, Brother Cam, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Absolutely. And I have to go that way. He says, we must lean upon God. He says, and God alone. He says, we mustn't trust the ability of ourselves or any man. He says, we must completely yield to God. And that's what he said about that scripture. Partiality, lifting up this and that. You name it. I know what we're all thinking. Absolutely. Right. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 11. Now, Apollos had been called into the ministry. He'd been heard people cry, started preaching the gospel. Look at the power of the gift. Power and demonstration is what Paul's bringing. But remember, Apollos was mighty in the scriptures. No one could touch him. That's why Paul kept saying, he says, I don't bring the wisdom of man. I don't bring this or that. He says, I just bring Christ and him crucified. Absolutely. Right. He says, 1 Corinthians 11, he says, for hath now been declared unto me of you, my brother, by them which are of the house of Chloe, there are contentions among you. What is contentions? Issue. What? Divisions. He says, now I say that every one of you saith, I am of Paul. Our pastor just read this. And I of Apollos, I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Look at the divisions. What? Because of gifts. Because of presentation. Because what? Their partiality. This one over this one. If I was Brother Cam, and Brother Cam was me, which neither are true, but if Brother Cam was going to have a big meeting. Okay. If Brother Cam was going to have a big meeting, try and invite who the Holy Ghost would lead him to. Right. Absolutely. Wherever the Spirit is pressing. Sure. Absolutely. He says, now, verse 12, he says, now this I say that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Christ, or Cephas, and I have Christ. Was Paul crucified for you? He says, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Right. Sure, I know it's simple. He says, Gaius. He says, lest any should say that I baptize in mine own name. He says, and I baptize also the house of, he goes on and on. In other words, I'm of this, I'm of that, absolutely. Very simple. Now, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. He says, and my brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He says, this problem is coming. Sure, because he had to correct it. He had to bring correction to the thinking. He calls them carnal. So carnal means not be spiritual. And if you're spiritual, you ain't going to be carnal. Yeah. For me it is. Sure. He says, verse 2, I fed you with milk and not with meat. Here unto you, are you able. He says, for ye are you carnal. For whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm a Paul. He says, I'm a Apollos. Notice the two major here. The master preacher. And then humble Paul. He's not everything I had done. Some of the miracles filling him, following this and that. All he would be prophet. He was the first messenger. God sent, sure, of the church ages. He says, well, one says, I'm Paul, another says, I am of Apollos. He says, are you not carnal? For who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? Look, no partiality. How many times Paul almost died? Look what's recorded about Paul's works and Apollos's. Right? Nothing written about Paul, so he could preach the word like a madman. Right? Sure. He says, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as Lord of every man. Right. Absolutely. Right. Some were ordained to hear Paul. Some were ordained to hear Apollos. He says, now look, he says, for I have planted, he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, he says, but God did increase. No partiality. Absolutely, we're all the same measuring line. Sure. He says, so then neither is he that planteth anything, Neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth, he says they're one, or should be one. One brother, one pastor won't talk to this pastor. One preacher or evangelist won't talk to this brother. I don't even know a couple. Now, he says, for he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Absolutely. He says, for we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. He says, and ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which has given me a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereon. He says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Absolutely. Notice the problem here. What? Masterpiece preacher and Paul. Sure. Sure. Now, continue on. Elisha, the prophet. 56. And if you type in the true message, if you type in Pentecost, if you type in things in the message search engine, you'll be blown away by how much Brother Graham says get back to Pentecost. You finish the church age book and in the resumes, get back to Pentecost. Back to that. He says, now then, he says, there was E23, sorry. He says, and then there was, now remember, he says, he had a temper too. He's talking about Elijah. He says, or Elisha, one of the, he says, and some children began to make fun of him because he was bald-headed. And he cursed those children, and that wasn't so much for the children's sake. He says, it was for the parents that didn't raise their children to respect God. He says, that's what it was. And the parents lost their children because two she-bears killed 42 of them. Must have been 100 or more running after Elijah. He says, and going right down through Samaria, where they'd had the word preached so long, he says, and the prophet, he says, but you see something there. He says, it was the people's attitude towards God's messenger. Now here's what I want to hit. He says, never in the world was God's messenger ever received by the ecclesiastics. He says, show me in the word where it ever was. He says, never. He says, the church, so-called, since the very beginning of time, has rejected the true message of God every time. You can't expect it to do any less today. So every time there's a true message, it'll be rejected. Absolutely. And I believe Brother Cam might be preaching on the Old Testament, called out of Egypt, those Israelites, one of these times he was telling me about it. Powerful. He says, and last day, now, Jehovah Jireh, 61, E33, he says, but that's the way it's been. He says, that's the way it is today. We've got to do something. Some of our churches, now he's dealing with what? He says, the true message. But now here, I'm sorry, let's get back to this. He says, I'd rather have a man with my child, didn't know split beans from coffee, but know that he'd been filled with the Holy Ghost, than a man with all kinds of degrees that knows no more about God than a Hottentot would know about Egyptianite. Yes, sir. Next one, brother, please. He says, what we need today is to get back to the real message. Amen. When I first heard this message, I was talking to a brother, and I was so excited. I seen the word of God, and I said, brother, in the zeal, you know, young newcomer, probably a year later, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, brother, anytime you want to go door to door, and start preaching this gospel, heal the sick and raise the dead. And the brother just kind of looked at me like, what? And I'm thinking, instantly I was thinking, I thought this. Because when I heard the message and God sent a prophet, I was thinking, Lord, is this book back to the book of Acts? That was my, but when the brother looked at me kind of strange, I was like, and I kind of just played it off like, oh, huh. And I'm thinking, what in the world? Huh? Now, did I go door to door? Sure. Now, he says, what we need to get back to the real message, he says, right back to the real, plain, down, old-time, heartfelt, God sent salvation, he says, of Pentecost. Right. What is this? Remember, God sent a prophet, the greatest prophet since Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Amen. Not greater, obviously, but he was the greatest one since. Sure. And he brought a message. The word of God, the true light, is now upon the earth. So the true message is back to Pentecost. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Absolutely. Where are our fathers? Where are the apostolic fathers? Right here in the book of Acts. Absolutely. Sure. He says, today, he says, is to get back to the real message. He says, oh, wait, where am I at? Oh, that's the wrong one. He says, never in the world was God's message received by, I'm in the right one. He says, what we need to do is get right back to the real message. He says, salvation of Pentecost. Absolutely. It wasn't so from the beginning, 1960. Now, I only did it up to before seals. I believe. Brother Cam's probably got all the post seals. He says, the churches, E26. He says, the churches has begun to shake back. Men of this day, Brother Duplessis could tell you the same, that great leaders among great churches has beginning to look back, checking up. He says, and men of Lutheran, Presbyterian background are hunting for the real thing that fell on the day of Pentecost. He says, that's right. He says, they'll not find it in their denominations and things. He says, but they're gathering themselves together and saying, where did we leave him at? He says, he's not among the relation. He's not among the acquaintances. Where did they leave him at? Where did we leave Jesus at? He says, at the feast of Pentecost. Absolutely. Saints of God. All those eight ministers that fell away, only one of them, as I was like, kind of figured. Only one. How many are still among us? How many believers, make believers, are still among us that will fall away? Sure. Because remember, when I first came in the message, all these eight were still standing. All said they had the Holy Ghost. All could preach the gospel very, very well. Very good. No one suspected. But what? We've got the message. We've got the Holy Ghost. We've been baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Where's our discernment? The two spirits within the framework of the church. One lacking the Holy Ghost, one having it. And yet, these eight were pretty big. Well, seven were pretty big. And they get invitations after invitations after invitations. Big meeting preachers. I'm talking. Hey. Huh? It's confounding me. It's making me watch. It's making me listen to every single word out of everyone's mouth, every action. And I'm setting back. When I went to Arizona, you can't get any bigger name than that. Can't do it. Can't do it. And I'm sitting there, service after service. Very good service. Masterpieces. But then a couple months ago, I went to a group of services. Maybe not as caliber. And the Holy Ghost fell five nights in a row. Anybody on YouTube ever watch the professor? He's this guy, and he's a white guy. He can dribble like no one else. Larry Bird can touch him, dribbling. The guy's just blah, 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 blah. And then the video, they say, oh, the professor shuts this down. And the professor shuts this down. Absolutely. In other words, he'll put on a dribbling display and juke every single person on the team. Just watch the video. He says, and then he scores. And what, the crowds just shut it down so loud you can't even hear. He said he shut it down. But these little meetings here, the Holy Ghost came and shut each one down every night. God was what? Pleased. He accepted what? The sacrifice. The fire fell. I got a refilling. What's going on here? I'm just being honest from my heart. I'm really thinking, what is going on here? And if we seek God and pray, what is exactly? All sincere. Everybody's sincere. But I watch everything. I'm trying to really watch. Lord, show me. Show me, Lord God. Don't leave me in the dark. Give me revelation. Don't let me get any. I want to be bride. My goal is the sky, saints. Absolutely. If the rapture is not our goal, what are we doing? If we're here for a good, just, oh, tingling, heartfelt, oh, the Spirit of God, oh, can't you feel it? If that's all you're here for the wrong thing. Because number one, I'm not that kind of preacher. 25 under my belt, probably. We must hunger and thirst for the Holy Ghost like never before. Yeah. Now remember, has the church awakened? Because when the awakening hits, they realize they don't have the Holy Ghost. But we can go from every church tonight, all across America, overseas, everyone's got the Holy Ghost in the message. So has the awakening hit? Sister Beth, pray for me. I don't have the oil. She'll say, Brother Simon, you got to get it for yourself. But I think right now I have it. Is that time? The time's coming.
Yeah.
Now, I know it's kind of sobering. I know it's kind of whatever. I'm just saying. Saints of God, I the only reason I went out there was a brother asked me. Just like how some of you guys want me to do plumbing, I do plumbing because you asked me. Absolutely. And I said, Lord, and two brothers sent me them flyers one day, and the next day he sent it. I said, Lord, I think I'm going to go. I said, Lord, show me things. Show me, Lord God. I don't go out in vain. Show me. Not saying anything bad about anything, but I'm watching. Watching. We must have what? Watch and pray. Didn't Jesus say it? Watch and pray. Weigh everything by what? By our experience? By the word of God.
That's right.
Absolutely. It wasn't so from the beginning. 60, E27. Brother, thank you. He says, and as good as Martin Luther and many of our other great reformers in their day, as good as they had been, he says, other great religious men, he says, we cannot go back to them, back into them things and find it. He says, we got to go back to the very beginning. He says, back to Pentecost. He says, that's where we left him, 1960. That's where we left him. He says, that's where the church left him. I thought he had everything operating. I thought, what was Malachi 4? It was a one-man show. John the Baptist, one-man show. Jesus Christ, one-man show. Nothing was in order here. He says, we need to get back. I thought they were already there. It was a one-man show. It was what? It was a restoring the word.
Right.
Absolutely. But it's got to produce.
That's right.
Absolutely. He said that's where the church left him. He says, now, two paragraphs down, he says, our traditions, brother. He says, our traditions, he says, our church creeds will never satisfy a heart that's been called to God. He says, you cannot make him say the Apostles' Creed or be sprinkled in something like that. He says, and be satisfied with that. He says, when the hunger of God is in his soul, he says, he will go back, he says, to Pentecost, to the beginning, and find the real, he says, Holy Ghost that sets heart on fire. Amen. Brother Sy, what about you? I'm pushing for it. I'm believing for it. A real dying out. And we'll cover that here in a little bit. Now, having conferences, 1960, E15, brother. He says, God sent us back, he says, to the real thing. He says, let the Holy Ghost come among the people tonight, Lord. He says, and start a Pentecost right here. Grant it. He says, Lord, he says, in every heart, truly they'd want to, if it's in their heart, to do it. He says, but the cares of the world, he says, and the swiftness of the passing of time has just wooed them out. 1960. They already went to sleep. Ah, sure. I'm not trying to be hard. I'm just trying to, saints of God. Let this soak in. Just really chew on it. Really think about it. When I tried to get this onto this, from my laptop to this, it took me almost 8 tries. And that never happened before. And I was trying to copy it back to that thing. It took me like 5 tries. And I'm like, Lord, don't you want me to teach this or not? And I said, and I had to lay my hands on the laptop. I said, Lord, just fix whatever needs fixing. And then was it 2 tries that I went through finally? I said, well, praise be to God, it must be so. Now, so 1 John 1. Now look what this message is coming down to. 1 John 1, verse 5. He says, this then is the message. The prophet brought the message. Yeah, he had to restore the message. But what? This is the message. He says, this is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. In other words, they're pure. All the souls, obviously pure and full of the Holy Ghost. He says, what? All the flues are clean, the spiritual realm is clean. He says, and they're walking as close to the word of God as they can. They're walking in the light. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him, he says, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he in the light, he says, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Absolutely. Now, continue on here. 1 John 2:8. He says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, he says, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother. Why are there divisions in this message? Jealousies or bitter feelings or this or that. He says he hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because darkness has blindness in his eyes. They thought they loved their brother. Absolutely. But this remember, a long time ago I taught about the filter, right? The second to last filter, which is what? Communion. The last filter, obviously, is the rapture. But there's a test coming. Or a squeeze. And it's going to prove what? Who's got love. Not filio, but agape love. The test is coming on how you love one another. When my boy Newbie died, I couldn't sleep one night, and I was so ate up. And I just went and I read 1 John, the entire thing. And saints of God, every burden just rolled off me. There's something powerful about this book right here. Sure. Absolutely. I went to sleep like that after I got done. He says, now let's continue on here. 1 John 3, verse 3. He says, every man... 1 John 3:3. He says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even he is pure. What? The bride makes herself ready, right? He says, and whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For the sin is the transgression of the law, and ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins. Absolutely. And in him is no sin. Sure. Now, look at this, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Absolutely. Jesus said what? Matthew 7. He says, you'll know them by their fruits. He says, now. Where was I at? He says, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, and the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil, right? For whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, and his seed remaineth in him, and cannot sin because he is born of God. Now what? It's coming down to seed line, right? Election. To nature. I went on the internet a couple nights ago looking how many of the species, how many animal species are there in the world? 20, 30, 100 thousands, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of species of animals. I'm not talking about insects. I'm not talking about whatever. I'm talking about breathing, animals, okay? Only 11 of the species of these animals actually are, when they choose a partner for life. Only 11. When Mr. Turtle Dove meets Mrs. Turtle Dove, they're together until they die. Nothing can make them turn. That's their nature. A certain chimpanzee or something, when they meet, That's their soul. That's their spirit mate. I can't say soul mate. That's their spirit mate, right? The serpent is not like that. Nature. Absolutely. St. Paul said, or I believe it was Peter, he says, these are natural brute beasts. He says, and they'll go back to the vomit, as the dog goes back to the vomit. He says, and the sow back to the wallow, right? Notice, they never changed. They're still a dog. They're still a sow. The word, the preaching, the masterpiece preaching services you hear, that I hear, even the services with the power of God coming down we hear, never change their nature. They're still a dog. The washing of the water of the word, and they're washing dogs. They're watching pigs. They're watching serpents. It never changes because what the nature, the seed is in them. Their nature. What was their nature from the beginning? Enmity in their heart. Sure. Enmity between thy seed and her seed. It can never be washed away. It can't happen. Because of what's the content. Now look at verse 10. That's what I'm saying. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for seed remains in them and cannot be born. In this the children of God are manifest, he says, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. It goes down to love. Not faith, not temperance, patience, virtue, blah, 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 blah. It goes right up to divine love. That's where it's at. That's where it's coming down to. Capstone. Agape capstone. The capping. Right? He says, now. He says, verse 11, he says, and for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. The message of the hour. The prophet's bringing it. What was he bringing? He was trying to get people back to divine love. Amen. To love one another. Remember what? He pulled them a denomination. A Pentecostal here says, wouldn't talk to a Baptist. A Baptist wouldn't talk to a Methodist. Right. That guy or this guy or that lady or whatever. What? But now he pulled them all in. All those that had ears to hear. That gospel message net of this hour brought in all these people. But remember what? There's spiders, there's fish, there's crabs, all these things. Sure. So what's the standard? Love. Divine love. Who's going to love who? Remember, great white judgment, though, Matthew 25. Left and right. You love them, but you guys didn't love. Sure. Yeah. Simple, I know, I'm a simple guy. Now, let's continue here. Now, let's see here. This is a church age book, I believe. Brother, I didn't even write that one down for you, I'm sorry. No, it's E47-2 in the paragraph above. I'm really saying what the problem is. The real message is Pentecost. The real message, everything he pointed to, the prophet was getting back to a book of Acts, as our pastors are preaching also, to a church that's living, breathing, doing the everything, right? Absolutely what it's supposed to be. Everything, all nine spiritual gifts operating, all these things, right? Now he says, now he's talking about living waters here. He says, the same living water is mentioned, but this time it's not called a river. He says, it's called an artesian well. He says, there is where people are making their mistake. He says, because it's called a well, he says, and a river. They think that it's one place in it is eternal life given by the Spirit, and the next place is called a river, implying great dynamicism. He says, it has to be the Spirit now given as an endowment of power. He says, not so. It is one and the same. It is the same. It is the Spirit that giveth life and power, he says, and came at Pentecost. Look, he always puts his focus. If you want to go through the quotes, there's probably hundreds and hundreds of them. Now, E47-2, he says, what is it that caused this misunderstanding? He says, the answer is experience. He says, we've gone by experience and not the word. Away with experience as your measuring line. There's only one plumb line. He says, only one rod. He says, that is the word. He says, now watch carefully and get this. Peter said, repent and baptize in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. He says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? He says, this is the whole of our problem right here. People repent of their sins. They get baptized in water. He says, but they don't go on and receive the Holy Ghost. You believe unto receiving the Spirit. Saints of God, everyone that's come into this message and has stood for a time, they've all repented and been baptized, the majority of them. Sure. But what it's just showing, they never got to the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, the holding power. Now, he says, believing on Jesus is the step in the right direction, which is towards the Holy Ghost. But the people stop there. He says, they go far as water and then stop. They believe and then stop. The Bible does not say that you believe, that you receive when you believe. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? The exact and literal translation is, did you, having previously received, believed, receive the Holy Ghost? The people stopped, believed, and then stopped. You don't receive the Holy Ghost when you believe unto him, he says, having repented. Now remember, the brother that brought that in, Holy Ghost without sensation, is backslid. He brought this doctrine just in fancy message terminology, if you will. Having repented, you go on and receive the Holy Ghost. Do you see it? That is what is wrong with our fundamentalists. He says they have no power, for they stop short of Pentecost, right? Then he goes on and he deals with Israelites and coming, and those Israelites coming out of Egypt. He said, what, 2 million strong? He says, and only two were true believers, right? Remember, they were baptized correctly in the Red Sea. They went around the wilderness, right? They all ate manna. Sure. All the same things we're doing in the message today. Exact same thing. Now, Revelation 1:10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard him behind me a great voice as a trumpet. 43-6, Patmos Vision, Church Age, Chapter 2. He says, I was in the Spirit. He says, isn't that beautiful? Here's the crossover. Here's Kadesh Barnea is getting in the Spirit, saints. This is Kadesh Barnea getting in the Spirit. Repentance, baptism, good. But now to cross over into the, remember, that's justified, sanctified, but we have to cross over into the baptism, of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Not natural water, spiritual water.
Yeah.
Sure. He says, my, isn't that beautiful? He says, my, I love that. You could just call those words the whole of the Christian life. This is, he's talking now, as we go through this, you're going to see he's talking about every promise. Healing. The reason people don't get healed when they come here is they're not in the Spirit. Sure. He says, if we're going to live as Christians, we should have to be in his Spirit. John was not talking about being in his own Spirit. That would have been not brought upon these visions. He says, it had to be the Spirit of God. Absolutely. I know it's simple. Let's see here now. I don't want to take up too much time here. 44-3. He says, have you ever noticed how the world gets into the spirit of things that are in the world? They go to their ball games, their sporting events, and their dances. They enter into the spirit of it. They don't sit there like wallflowers, all dried up sticks. He says, they enter right into the feel of things and become a part of things. Oh, he says, how they hate the Christians for getting into the spirit of God's word. Remember when we all first come in and we're having Bible studies till 2 in the morning or 1 in the morning, and the denominations hated it. They couldn't stand it. What is going on? Why would they want to get into a Bible study? Why would they want to go service on a Saturday night? Sure, but when we were going through the word of God, what? Our faith was growing. We're growing. We're becoming real, true Christians. What? Restored in this world. He says, there's nothing they won't do to show their hatred and disapproval. He says, but ignore that. You can expect it. Knowing where it is coming from, just go on and get into the spirit of worship. How do you receive the Holy Ghost? You have to get into the spirit of worship. Absolutely. Now, in closing, Brother Cam told me to listen to Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness. If we're to catch fire, if this message is supposed to set a blaze, I'm talking about something that's going to turn the world upside down again, another book of Acts. How do we start a fire? And say, me and Brother Steve here, we go camping out in the woods. And it's about maybe a month ago. I said, Brother Steve, man, I'm getting cold, man. You know, we ain't got no Big B here to warm me up. I mean, I got nothing. I mean, he said, well, brother, let's start a fire. I was like, all right. And I say, Brother Steve, go get the biggest log you can find. Brother Steve, a little bit stronger than me, he grabs the biggest log. He says, all right, Brother Simon, here you go. Boom. I said, well, I'm going to get a big log too. I take my little bare arms and my legs, and I run over here, and I get the biggest one I can carry, and I put it right here. I said, Brother Steve, look at the amount of fuel right there. Dude, we're going to sleep all night like babies. I take out my little match, psh, right? And I hold that match underneath these big pieces of wood here, these big logs. I'm just holding there, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to steal the water. I'm holding this match here, right? Ah, it burns my fingers. Is that match going to start those big logs on fire? The big ones? Big shooter logs? Packing the heat? The BTU level in that is amazing, probably. How's God going to set, how are we going to get back to the book of, I mean, real book of Acts where divine love, atmosphere, we can feel. Just like that testimony, Brother Cam showed me that video. The denominations, so they were talking to Brother Branham, and Brother Branham's telling this man, he says, you watch, he says, and when this thing hits, and this is right before he went off the scene, he says, when this thing hits, he says, you won't have to lay hands, he says, you'll just speak the word and the entire church will be healed. Brother Branham told that to a denominational guy. Where are those days? That's Book of Acts. That's now moving what? Third pole. That's moving what? Into spoken word. All the way. A little bit here and there we see now, right? But I'm saying when the council tightens up, so what are we going to do? Brother Steve, that match did not start that fire. But see, Brother Simon, you're doing it all wrong. Oh, okay. He says, what you want to do? He says, you want to find the smallest sticks. So I run over here and I grab one right off the tree with leaves. And no, brother, they've got to be dried out. They've got to be completely dead. Oh, okay. So I don't go like this. Now I'm looking down, looking for the little humble little ones. I start scraping. I find a bunch of little sticks, all dried out. I said, brother, is this it? Brother, it's going to be fine. He said, don't take the big ones out. Leave the big ones there. Don't mess with those big ones. He said, but we're going to take these little sticks. And we're going to get a big pile of these little ones, all these little ones dried out, dead to themselves, dead to the world. And we're going to put them underneath, even more humble, right underneath these big ones. Brother Steve, you want me to put a light? Yeah. Saints of God, that's going to start. I know Big Dave gets invitations to go preach, you know, all the time, everywhere he wants, you know. There's no one big here. Saints of God, we're prime. All we have to do, we're prime for this. All we have to do is dry out. Die out. We're nobodies. All we have to do is fully get underneath the sun, let the greenness out, brotherly love. I'm a nobody. You're a nobody. What do you need? What can I help you with this? Or what about this? Or how you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? This. If we can get there, it just took what? Peter, before Christ called him. Big, strong. Brother Grant said he was a big, strong man. Right? Catching fish like crazy, doing all these things right. And he says, someone says, come follow me. What? He had to put a shirt on because he's coming into the presence of God Almighty. Big, strong man. Knows what he's talking about. Ain't scared of nobody. Follows Christ for 3 years. Every time Christ would say something, now Jesus, and God had to correct him. Every time he thought he was something. Peter, Lord, I'll never deny you. Oh yeah, you're going to deny me 3 times tonight. No, that's not going to happen, Lord. Peter. What happened? He denied him. Right? Sure. Absolutely. Now he's so humble. He's not dead yet. He's not dead yet. Because what did he say? He says, I might not be a good Christian. I might not be a good disciple, but I sure can fish. I can fish with the best of them. Peter. My daddy's company. I'm the son. He goes out and fishes all night. Didn't catch nothing. And he realized he can absolutely do nothing right. He was cured. Brother Bram said he was cured right there. Because while he's casting the net out and all the disciples followed him, because, well, he's Peter. He's a big guy. Hey, you took the right ear off the... Yeah, that's me. Fished all night. Nothing. Brother Bram said he was cured right there. And all of a sudden a voice says, have ye any meat? children. Huh? Cast it to the right. I already did that all night. I'm doing all right. Just cast it. Oh. Oh, my goodness. Now Peter could actually use what little bit of himself he could. Fish everywhere. John said, the bride said, that's Jesus. Humbled himself, put on the coat. And Brother Bram said he outswam them back to shore. And he laid down for Christ. Christ talked to them for a while, gave them the commission. Now they're all dead. 120 little sticks meet up in an upper room. 120 sticks. That's gonna set them big ones on fire. So it's going to set everybody on fire. Get those 120 sticks together. They just had to wait and even die out then. They had to get in one accord, saints. One accord. And they had to wait for it. And when it came, the Bible says they had licks of fire. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, it says they turned the world upside down. Right. Absolutely. Saints of God, if we can just get back to the real message, which is the real Pentecost, which is to real signs, wonders, and miracles. Oh, brother, this brother was raised from the dead, this and that. My grandpa raised my aunt, or my grandma from the dead. My grandpa's just got as many testimonies as majority of message people. Same thing. I've got some testimonies. We all have some testimonies, right? But where's that divine love? Where we can say, man, the power of God is here. And not only that, but we can see it in each individual life. Real. Real. Not real, capital R, little E-A-L. Capital R, capital E, capital A, capital L. Real. The fulfillment of this whole entire message. Where's that? Absolutely. So anyhow, I hope it was a blessing. Real simple, I know. I'm a teacher. Teach a little bit. But saints of God, I hope just think on these things. If you can be just so tiny, you'll catch. Get in the Spirit. Be so tiny. Get in the Spirit. It'll catch fire. And remember, the timing has to be perfect. One little one catches fire, God's going to make sure he comes in contact with another dry one. And it'll grow, and it'll grow, and it'll grow, and it'll grow. Absolutely. Sure. Saints of God, I was part of the first revival we had down in Lima. I was a part of that. I know what it looks like. We know what it looks like. I mean, I'm talking about a real hunger for God. A group of, 15, 20, every Saturday night, singing till 1 or 2 in the morning, Bible studies till 1 or 2 in the morning, from 6 o'clock, hearing Brother Brooks' sermon 3 times in a row. But we were so hungry for the Word of God, we went anyhow. Sure. Exiled, excommunicated from every church in this area. Absolutely. Now we have a little outpost right here, saints. This little study here is for this church. This church. Absolutely. So anyhow, Brother Kim, if you're led, saints of God, if Brother Kim hasn't told you already, listen to Perfect Strength by Perfect Weakness. That's how it was. Brother Kim said, brother, listen to this. I listened to it 3 times yesterday at work, and I'm just going, God have mercy. But I'm seeing death. I want to get to the point where when I'm on this altar, I'm dead. If you can empty yourself out all the way. Sister Emma, the next 5 years, what are your plans for the next 5 years? And if Sister Emma's in her flesh still, and I know she's a young sister, she's going to say, well, in 5 years, 6-7 years, I won't get married, I won't have children, this and that, house, this, this. But remember, being totally dead, whatever the Lord wants me to do, I'll do it. Wherever he wants me to go, whatever he wants me to say, I'll say it. However he wants me to love, whatever rejection, any trial, any temptation, I'll go through it. That's dead. Sure. Kim. Bless you.
Chance was it? I believe 61:11-12. I believe it is where that message is at. And I had the Holy Ghost telling me to go there, and the first time I just overlooked it, and then I went back, and I'll tell you what, I've listened to it several times myself, just looking at you know, a lot of times we place the, you know, the key to maybe the seals or this or that. We place all these ideas where what we might think that it might be some deeper to the more scholarly, but when you begin to actually look at the message and look what it is, you come to the same conclusion basically every time. It is death and rot. We have to rot to every idea, rot to everything that everything that's important to us. Yeah. So, you know, as we close, you know, I feel like feel all these things just everything's putting these little pieces right where they need to be, and then the quote said it all. But remember, even I read the quote today, Brother Branham said, he said don't think that there's something special you got to have. He said there's no gimmicks to this. There's no special revelation that you're looking at. And you know, one thing for certain, brother, sister, you know, even Paul had a ministry that was deep. Apollos, obviously mighty, but brother, sister, we want, if we have a letter that's not alive, there is a real problem with that. And you know, by the grace of God, I believe it was well said, and I don't think I have to re-preach what was preached. I believe it was very, very needful and very, very important where we're at, because it comes to a place in our own lives that God is, whether you like it or not, he's getting you to a place right now. I mean, I'm talking seed. We should consider ourselves seed. And if God is not working in our lives, if God is not putting you to the test, if God is not trying your faith, there's something going on that's not right. So, you know, God, enlighten our minds to who we are. Enlighten us to back to Pentecost, right? And, you know, I've studied that so many times, but, you know, he uses the word, I believe it's 42 times, I think one time, maybe once or twice. It's not even, it's kind of sentence spliced, but. But when you actually study that out, brother, sister, when he's preaching the message, desperation, see, remember that he opened up with Jeremiah 29, the thoughts that I have toward you, thoughts of peace, not of evil. And he said, but when you seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me. And he said, I'll carry you from the place that you were held captive. He said, back to Pentecost. Desperations. The thoughts that God has for you, the predestinated thoughts. It's what you are. It's who we are. You see, that's why the evidence of the Holy Spirit always comes right back. It always lines up with the Word. It is with the Word all the way. Right? What time is it? I was still hungry. I'm sorry. I was still eating. Let's stand. You know, I say this as we close, you know, all these things tie together, brother, sister. I mean, you can look at Nicolaitanism. It ties completely in with this. Our perceptions, our thoughts, everything, because when it comes down to what all that is, the only thing God wants to do is to get you in a place where he can fully use you. And everything that Satan is shooting at your life is trying to get you to a place that he can't. So you think what we're allowing the flesh, our minds, and all these things to fight, we're just allowing them to fight the greatest benefit that was ever given to man. You see, we say, oh God, you know, if I was to ask you today, if I said, how many want God to fully use you? Oh, and everybody in that church just raise their hand. Oh, glory to God, that's me, amen? But then we say, well, how many are willing to do this and do that? How many are willing to come to prayer? How many would make prayer just, okay, well, the end of the tape's done. Okay, I'm done. See, when do we get to a place that we turn it from religion into the desperation to seek and find the only thing we know that has life? It's a battle. This is the day of battle, brother, sister. I'm in there in the closet. I'm in there praying, brother, sister. And it is a battle. It is a phenomenal battle. I said, God, just kill me. Take me. He just sits and leaves you sit right there. You come back. God, just kill me. Sit right there. I'm not giving up. If he wants to kill me, he can kill me naturally. Whatever his will is. Hallelujah. I believe with the revelation I'm at, I have, that I believe he's given me, that this Bible's inspired, it's the absolute, it has to live in its people. I believe that there's something God has in store. Amen. Amen. You have something in store. So I say this as we close, that if you have need of prayer tonight, now let's not be afraid to flutter eagle wings. Let's not be afraid to put it to the test and to the challenge. Because if we get into a place that we make this altar a normal place, we get to the place that we make the sickness in body, the sickness in spirit, we make that a place that we're constantly saying, God, I believe you can do it tonight. And we just keep on fighting. It'll birth. Absolutely. It's birthing time. You love the Lord? Amen. How many would say, as we close in prayer, I will sing a song when we're done, of course. But how many would say tonight, say, Lord, I'm not trying to be a big somebody. And God sees your heart. I'm not trying to be a big somebody. I just want to be a little nobody. I want to be someone who's laid aside everything to serve you, Lord. I want to be dried out to the things of the world. I want to be dried out to my own ideas. And I want to say to Jesus Christ, I don't just want a relationship, but Lord, I want to sell out everything to you. I want you to fully control me. I want to be used of you. Is that your desire? If that's your desire today, maybe you just show it with your heart, show it with your hand. Maybe you say, God, this is my desire, Lord. And as you even do those things, you know that Satan is right there saying, well, you know what? You're not doing this. You're not doing this. You're not proving that. But brother and sister, let's go before the King of Kings. Let's say a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, we love you today, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, for the word that we've been given tonight, Lord. And, oh, God, as I heard those things about Apollos and Paul and the bride and all these things, Lord, how, oh, God, the message of this hour, Lord, I want it to ring from this assembly, Lord. Lord, divine love to express from this assembly, Lord. And in all the things going on in the world within this church and everywhere, Lord, we just want to see you high and lifted up, Lord. And Lord, we want to see you, oh God, not just there. We want to see you engaged in our lives, Lord. We just want to be yielded and free to you, Lord, that, Lord, you may use us in whatever capacity, Lord, you desire, Lord. So, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, we realize, oh God, it's coming down to perfect strength with perfect weakness, God. Lord, we have to be weak to ourselves, but weak enough to allow you to take over, Lord. Certainly that's our desire, Lord. And I pray, oh God, as our brother was using the analogy, Lord, let it be, oh God, a bunch of little sticks, oh God, gathered in this room, Lord, dry and ready to be set to flame, oh God. We realize that's all it is, oh God, that when the mechanics takes the dynamics, God, it just needs that little flame to set that dynamics off, a refilling of the Holy Ghost, God. Lord, whatever we've received today, oh God, I pray, oh God, that you'd set us up, Lord. Set us up for a great refilling of the Holy Ghost, God. A great filling if we haven't had it, oh God. And Lord, I just pray, oh God, let yourself find, oh God, people here, oh God, that are willing, oh God, to submit to you, Lord. I pray, oh God, find it here in my life. Find it in their lives as they do the same, Lord. We just trust, oh God, that you do it now for the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have me to pray, I'd be happy to pray with you tonight. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Are you too tired to say amen? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. Brother, sister, if you were at Brother Jesse's church, he'd just be getting started on an after-service sermon. This ain't that long. And brother, sister, we are not dead. When a word comes, if it convicts us, what? We just say, God, here it is. Hallelujah. When, you know, that time when he was talking about coming into the message, I remember, brothers, sisters, some of the times we were just so on fire for God. Brother Brooks would get up there on a Sunday morning and he'd just be blasting sin. And brother, sister, I tell you the truth. I was just as much, and some of them know the same thing. I was amen. Just as much up, amen, in the Word of God when yes, I was getting blasted yes, as when amen. I was hearing a stimulated yes, word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It was hunger. Oh, God. Amen. Oh, God, if this is what it is, dry me out, Lord. Amen. We know we need to be dry. We know we need to be what set aside before the Lord. God, let your cares be my cares. Let your will be my will. Amen. The last thing we want to do is receive a pouring out of the Holy Ghost and not one of us has set aside in the heart. That happens at Pentecost. It happens. People get gifts. And if the life is not changed, that's what it produces. Just a gift. But God, let it be a character move here, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Why aren't we progressing? Character. Amen. That doesn't mean they're better than us or they're there, they're there. It doesn't mean nothing like that. It doesn't mean that we're better than them. It just means we just have to desire a character change. Hallelujah. Let's just sing that song.